It is good to be here with you in 2022, and I also am excited about this focus we have to kick off the year as a whole church family on what the heart of Christ, the very heart of Jesus our Savior, is toward us as His followers. So this particular passage this morning is Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and it's a great place as a foundation for that entire focus of the heart of Jesus, because He points to His heart in specific words in these verses. So you can anticipate that in Matthew chapter 11, but let's go ahead and pray to the Lord and then look at that passage together. Yes, Lord, we praise You that You're faithful year by year, week by week, day by day. We praise You that You have a desire to reveal Yourself to us and for us to know You truly so that we can be satisfied in You, and that You have communicated because of that desire in the person of Jesus coming to earth and revealing Your nature, and through Your living words, You inspired by Your Holy Spirit. So because of Your grace through these means, I pray now that You would activate the power of Your truth in our minds and our hearts to speak freshly and clearly to us, Your people, about who You are and what You have for us. Through Jesus, we ask this. Amen. So, kicking off a series on the heart of Jesus, and today we'll begin that with Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." We want to take note from the start that the one place where Jesus describes His heart in the New Testament, where He directly, specifically describes His heart, comes here in His invitation to the weary and the burdened. So in our message, we're going to look at three things. First of all, the fact that it's an invitation to the burdened, and then what the means of rest that Jesus promises is, and finally, the reason to respond. So we'll start with who He's inviting here, the invitation to the burdened. He says, "You who are weary and heavy laden." That's who He specifically calls out. So to be clear, Jesus is not talking about mere physical tiredness. You might be tired from the holidays, being up late on New Year's Eve, and there's a proper way to deal with that. But Jesus isn't just talking about being tired in these verses. And then for Christians, the application is not either merely the weariness that comes from Romans 8 talks about groaning as we yearn for Christ to return when He ends all wrong and brings His kingdom in fullness. There's an appropriate type of weariness that could include, that groaning for redemption of our bodies. But that's not what Jesus is addressing here either. And then it's also important to understand that Jesus is not offering an easier set of life circumstances in this invitation, one that's free from hardship, sickness, sorrows, like most human beings on earth experience. Instead, Jesus is addressing something deeper. You could put it like this. It's you who are weary from the work beneath the work, or the hard beneath the hard. So in the immediate context Jesus is speaking to, He's contrasting His offer here with the way of the scribes and Pharisees that the Jews were familiar with. Most Jews thought the scribes and Pharisees represented God's truth, but it had become a teaching of endless rules as a means of being right with God. And Jesus is contrasting his offer with that. But by implication, really, it's a contrast to all effort at self-justification. And even more broadly, it includes depending on all sorts of superficial or short-lived satisfaction outside of Christ. So, Jesus is addressing the weariness that comes from the work beneath the work. The wearying work beneath our exertion and things like these. Trying to merit God's favor. Trying to be worthy of heaven. Trying to prove yourself, period. Justifying your existence by your performance. All those things relate to the exhausting work of seeking rest of soul through our performance. And then again, more broadly, any counterfeit goal can leave you weary, such as Isaiah 55:2 refers to, where it says, "Why do you spend silver on what is not food, and your wages on what does not satisfy?" Isaiah 55:2. Or two, in that case, it's seeking your life in the created instead of the living and eternal Creator. So, Jesus understands the burden and the weariness caused either by self-reliance, self-justification, and more broadly, simply counterfeit satisfaction. So the law keepers and the lawless both have an invitation here. In summary, our souls become weary from working to be right with God, or trying to find our life or get through it on our own terms. They get weary apart from the full provision that's only found in union with Christ. So, Jesus speaks to the weary. That brings us to the means of rest. He's talking to the burden. He says, "Come to me, come to me, take my yoke." So here we have a picture of a yoke similar to what Jesus would have been referring to by metaphor. Now, a yoke was actually a common metaphor for discipleship in the Jewish culture. And by Jesus using that metaphor, it's specifically related to this practice of training a younger oxen by putting it in the yoke with a larger, stronger, more experienced ox. So you've got a big, strong one. This picture doesn't specifically capture this, but you've got a strong ox that goes the right way and carries the primary burden of the load. And then the other ox is learning, and both is kept on the right way and can take it because it's a lot easier for the smaller, younger ox. So what's Jesus talking about? The yoke symbolizes his authority, discipleship under him, following him. Jesus is inviting listeners into his discipleship. So simply submission to him and dependence on him. But the unique truth implied through this metaphor that Jesus uses is that walking forward under his authority is done in union with him. So taking his yoke is giving him his place and walking in union with him. And then he says, "Learn from me," and that's part of the same idea. Submission to his will and his truth. So your focus, your attention, your trust, your esteem, it's directed to his words, his authority, his truth. So again, Jesus is contrasting his yoke of discipleship with the heavy burden of being right by works. He's contrasting his calling here to follow him with the teaching of the Pharisees, with its endless rules and righteousness through rule keeping. So even though the immediate context of Jesus' day there was Jews living under the yoke of the scribes and Pharisees' instruction, Jesus speaks with timeless relevance. He knows that everyone in all time has a chief instructor, a chief authority. All of us have an actual supreme source of influence on our perspective and our practice. Whether that's an author or a teacher or a friend, a talk show host, podcaster, everyone actually has a chief source of authority. And Jesus here is inviting us to make it Him. Everyone has a yoke. Everyone has an authoritative source under which they place themselves, to which we submit ourselves. And ironically, that's true even if it's the message of radical individualism or the gospel of self-realization, which is so prevalent today in our culture. That is still a controlling source of authority. So everyone has a yoke, and the question is, which will it be? Jesus invites us to take His. So when a young ox is in training, it could be put in a yoke with a stronger, experienced ox, which would take the primary load and keep it going the right direction. And so that shows how the metaphor implies walking in Jesus' truth and His will, but in union with Him. So in other words, in His strength and His fellowship. So take note of this double-sided truth. We can't enjoy the strength and fellowship of Jesus outside of His truth and His will. Such as, yeah, Jesus, I want Your encouragement, Your comfort, Your kindness. I just don't want You to have control of my life. It doesn't work that way. His will is the context for experiencing His love to the fullest. But on the other hand, we can't live according to His will, can't actually do His will apart from His strength and fellowship, outside of union with Him. Neither one can exist apart from the other. If you attempt to do His will in natural ability, it's simply crushing. It's impossible to fulfill His will independently of Him. And this means that the only reason that Jesus can say His yoke, the yoke of His truth and His will, are easy is because He intends us to apply them in union with Him. All right. So again, life won't be easy. Jesus actually promised us believers tribulations in this world. And also learning to depend on Him, to lean on Him isn't easy because we're naturally self-reliant, naturally independent. But when we learn to truly walk in His will by His strength, the strength that He supplies, and the power of His friendship, that's when we experience the lightness of His yoke that He's talking about. The yoke of Jesus will be easy because of the full provision He supplies to everyone who lives in union with Him. So, that brings us to the reason to respond. Here's where things get best of all. So he pointed to his heart here, and like I said, this is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus specifically says, my heart is this way. He reveals His heart by everything He says, everything He does, and we can know it throughout Scripture, but only here does Jesus explicitly say, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Now, we have to be reminded that the heart in this scriptural context refers to the core of who somebody is, the core, the control center of their life. It's not just a part of a person, not just their emotions. It's what animates and drives a person. As new creations, Christians are built to live off the reality of who Jesus is. And that means that if we have a faulty view of him, it's like trying to run a car on bad gasoline. It messes up the engine, or in our case, our very own heart. So we need an accurate view of who he is. And Jesus says here, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." The offer he gives of rest is to everyone who hears, but the experience of his heart is reserved for those who actually respond in faith. And the core of who Jesus is, that he points to here, is gentle, lowly, tender-hearted, approachable. This is fascinating because when you think about it, when someone is rich and famous, it's the exception rather than the rule for them to be humble and approachable. So, for example, one of the most well-to-do customers I have in the lawn company that serves customers stands out specifically because even though he is very well-to-do, he's really kind and friendly. Wow, he's so friendly and down-to-earth for someone who's so well-off. Why is that surprising? Because we don't usually associate those. So you can up the ante with that pattern. If you meet a celebrity, whoever your favorite is, and they give you the time of day, like, wow, so-and-so talked to me for a whole minute. I mean, you need to fill in the blank for who comes to your mind, whether that's Patrick Mahomes or Salvador Perez, one of my daughters like Scarlett Johansson. But whether it's a author or pastor, singer, artist, whoever you most respect would be most shocked by if they actually gave you some time and attention and personal conversation. Wow, she actually noticed me. She asked how my day was going. It's not amazing that we're surprised by that kind of behavior from people who are rich and powerful and important. But here we have the King of Kings, God incarnate in human form, the one who actually, in fact, is more wealthy and powerful than anyone else in the world. There's no one who is more approachable. No one who's more welcoming, understanding, gentle. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Now, I used to interpret this passage where Jesus talks about his heart as him saying, come, learn from me because I'm such a good example. This is how you should be. So learn. I'm humble. I'm lowly. And you should be too. And then you'll find rest. But I think that interpretation misses the point of what Jesus is saying in this passage. In describing his heart, in this instance, Jesus is not referring to his posture as a man living before God. He is humble before God, and yes, we should be gentle. We should be humble, yes, but Jesus here is speaking of his posture toward his followers, those who take his yoke. And we can know that because he's using it as the motive for coming. So even though the first application here in this invitation is coming to Christ in initial faith and repentance, the pattern is not a one-off. It's a way of life. Just as we received Christ, so we're to walk in him. But whether the reference is to an initial response to Christ or our daily need to walk in the same pattern, the same question could be raised in both cases. You know, why? Why come? Why take this yoke? Why, Jesus? And so notice that Jesus says to do so not because he is correct in all his views, though he is. And he says to come and take his yoke. He invites us not because he has the right to be followed as God incarnate, though, of course, he does, because he is. Instead, Jesus invites us to make him our master because he is gentle and lowly in heart. And for that reason, we will find rest for our souls. It's like he's saying, make me your master because I'm gentle and lowly. Make me your supreme authority because of the irresistible attraction of who I will be toward you. It's because of who he is that we should desire to come. And it's because of who he is that we will discover rest for our souls. There's no other God like this. His motivation for our submission to him is his kindness and tenderness. The rest and well-being it will bring to us. Again, the heart behind this call to discipleship, his call for us to learn from him and submit to him, to follow him at all costs, come what may, is that of warm-hearted care. Knowing that he is the one and only kind of master that we need, that his disposition toward us will meet our need. So in summary, the motive he offers us here is concern for our greatest good. Learn from me, for in me alone will your soul find rest. Have you experienced the rest of Jesus? Are you experiencing it today? He is offering it today. He wants you to come even now. Set your mind and your heart on him to bend wholly to his truth and his will. He says, learn from me, and learning and growing are a lifelong process. But we're talking here about the posture of our heart through which we cooperate with him, the posture in which we best grow. And Jesus calls for us to take this posture, to take his yoke, so that we can experience his rest. What rest do we find in union with Christ? Well, the rest is his righteousness imparted to us as a free gift. The one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, to him it is counted as righteousness. The rest is his guidance into what is truly good, his good and perfect will, his liberating truth. The rest is that of his strength, his enablement to walk in his will. By the immediate power of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside you, if you are a believer. And best of all, the rest is the rest of satisfaction in his fellowship. Augustine was right when he said, you made us for yourself, and our souls, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Yes. So it's the rest of actual close relationship with him, of true intimate relationship with Jesus. Not as a concept, but as an unwrapped gift. This invitation of Jesus makes it clear that discipleship to him is all personal. It's all relational. All of his commands serve to deepen our relationship with him, our connection with him. His will is the context for highest enjoyment of him. So the yoke of submission to him and dependence on him is to lead us into the sweet experience of his gentle and lowly heart toward us, into the comfort and the delight of his fellowship. Do you know that sweet fellowship? Have you sensed his personal love as you read his words and respond in prayer and praise? Have you experienced how in your sorrow and burden, you can cast your cares on him? Have you experienced how knowing this Savior deeply is better than the best pleasure of His creation, and how He can carry you through the worst that you go through. I've had the chance to experience this. To some of you, I'm still quite young, while to others, I'm starting to really get up there in age now. But now that I've lived a few decades, I've had enough time to experience some of the wide variety of difficulties and sorrows that we often have here. And even though our lives are so short in the grand scheme, isn't it amazing how deep the hardship and pain is that can fit inside of them? But my own collection of life hardship has been the occasion to experience some of what Jesus is talking about. That no matter how hard things are, nothing is harder than He is faithful. Nothing is worse than He is strong and stable. No matter how painful things are, nothing is heavier than His steadfast love. Living in union with Jesus each day is the only place to be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. So, Jesus does not want you to walk through life without the intimate experience of His gentle and tender heart toward you. And what is your response to His invitation today? In the next period of weeks, as a church, we're studying the heart of Christ toward us. So at the start here of 2022, let's join on a group quest together to know His heart more truly and deeply. But the supreme application can start right now. Listen and respond. Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Let's do that. There's no other God like you, Jesus. You, Father, who have revealed yourself more clearly than ever through Jesus. Thank you that you invite us to come, not just once, not just in special circumstances, but all the time. And that you've paid the price to make it possible. So may we, Lord, more than ever, as a church and as your children, come to you this year and this day. Make us ones who come to you more often, more deeply. Teach us to come. Amen.